For her, she wish she had that jack in her, but she can't get that. So, girl.
I thought this was a classy party.
Hello, my name is Ari.
And my name is Dante.
And this is Penpop. Today we're going to talk about a song that holds a very deep emotional connection to my heart. Mm-hmm. And all of our hearts. A song that truly continues to go on in history.
That's right. Let's get into Celine Dion, My Heart. My Heart.
Mother!
From the Titanic soundtrack.
Released on November 24, 1997, My Heart Will Go On by Celine Dion and produced by Walter Afanasieff, James Horner, and Simon Franklin, was released as the lead single of the Titanic soundtrack, a historical disaster film directed and produced by the James Cameron.
Now I am going to let Ari go off on his love for James Cameron for a minute. Absolutely. You heard me rambling. I'm going to let you take a turn.
So James Cameron, where do I start? Honestly, for me, before this movie, it started with Avatar. And you know how I got down with my blue people, my Smurfs and my Avatars. James Cameron did that on the first movie. I was encapsulated by his mesmerizing abilities to create a new world. And honestly, for me, Avatar, you know, I made Dante go to Avatar 2. How many times?
2 times.
Exactly. And we paid for those tickets.
We almost went 3 times.
We almost went a third time. But I stopped myself because it was too much. It's too much.
No, actually, it was good.
It was good. Before I watched the Avatar 2, I watched this incredible movie, which is 3 hours long. Even if you know anything about James Cameron, is that everything is 3 hours long. But mm-hmm. The thing about this, sir, is that he is able to give you a whole story and yet not bore you for 3 hours. Because let's be honest, how many times have you watched Titanic?
I would say I have definitely watched it like at least 20 times. Because like not all the way through, but like I've seen it on TV or we have it on VHS or on Netflix. It was on Netflix at one point.
But have you ever gotten bored? No. Because it's impossible. No. I really do love everything that he does, all the movies. But Titanic really holds a special place in my heart. And let's be honest, I hadn't seen Titanic since Noel. It was my first time seeing it in 2020.
Really?
My first time seeing
it. Before.
No. My first time seeing it was in 2020. No, not 2020, 2022.
Because I think I kept pushing you to watch it or something.
I don't know. But it was my first time seeing it in 2022. And I haven't, I literally watched it 3 times since then. I didn't know. But I knew the song, the incredible song from Mother, My Heart Will Go On. And that's exactly mm-hmm. why we're going to be talking here today, because how can you not say Titanic without saying My Heart Will Always Go On, okay?
Absolutely.
Exactly. Well, yes.
Actually, it's been a minute since I watched it. I kind of want to watch it again. James, let's do a limited theater release in honor of the submarine, okay?
He did last year.
Because it's 25th anniversary.
Oh.
Anyways, I went there.
Ooh.
It is, anyways, the movie is based on the sinking of the RMS Titanic in 1912, as well as the love story torn apart by their social class of Rose Bukatar, whatever, Rose. That's Rose. That's Mother, Rose. And
Rose to you.
And Jack Dawson, aka Kate Winslet and Leo DiCaprio. Titanic grossed $2.257 budget. they had a good budget. It grossed $2.257 billion with today's inflation. It became the highest grossing film of all time worldwide in 1998, beating Jurassic Park until overtaken by James Cameron's own 2009 film, Avatar. It was also the second film to receive 14 nominations and 11 Academy Awards. Now, are we ready to hear the signature whistle? Or flute, or whatever it is.
But what I want to say was that the thing about James Cameron is he just keeps raising the bar for himself.
Hey, Queen. Girl, you have done it again. Constantly raising the bar for us all.
And that's when...
pushing the envelope.
When you really think about growing yourself, it's not about growing and comparing yourself to other people. It's about growing yourself. And that's what James Cameron does every movie. How can I outshine myself? And he does it every mm-hmm. time with a hit.
I want to say, and I like how he makes $1 billion from the movies, and he reinvests it into perfecting his craft more, you know, versus like other people who hoard these billion of dollars and don't do anything with it. Like, at least put it towards your craft and not give us the same shit all the time.
Because he's passionate about it. That's what he does. And like, when you love what you do, you want to make it better. You want to make it even bigger. That's why I love my body, because I make it bigger. Anyways, moving on.
Anyways, are we ready to get into that signature whistle flute, whatever it is?
Yes.
I'm in my pan.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to get your pens out.
So where were you and what did you think about My Heart Will Go On when you first heard it?
Oh, that was a long time ago, Donna. I don't fucking know when I heard it. Well, I was 10, 9 years old.
Can you imagine yourself listening to it in a specific moment?
No, I just remember my mom always, like, my mom is a Celine Dion fan. Mm-hmm, and truly the reason why I think I love Celine is because my mom was so attached to it. So then I think that was my influence to it. My Heart Would Go On was such a big hit. And even in Cuba, they knew the song. And I think that's why I discovered her. But I don't even remember what my first Celine Dion song was. Like, I just kind of knew her. Like, I just knew, you knew of her, but you never knew one song of her. You knew everything. But I guess when we came to Canada, my mom was able to listen to more songs. Or discover new things.
Well, it was also the same year Love Me Back to Life was released.
Exactly. So to her, it was more like finding out more. And for me, it was discovering her. But I can't recall the moment I knew My Heart Would Go On. But I do think, like, the other apartment, not the one we used to have, the one before, hearing it there and, like, discovering it there. I didn't know what the hell she was saying, but I knew it touched my heart.
I don't know what the fuck she's saying, but girl, I am living. Absolutely.
What about you?
I mean, same thing. I mean, it's my sister's favorite movie.
Yeah.
We have the two tape VHS of it, where it's like, the first hour is on one, or the first hour and a half is on one, the second hour and a half is on the other.
Yeah.
And as kids, my mom didn't allow us to watch the second half because of the sex scene, because of the trauma of the ship going down. But eventually, we got it on DVD, or we watched it on Netflix, or I think, like, eventually Vanessa connected it to the TV or whatever, you know, those websites. And, you know, we watched it for the first time, and I was, like, obsessed like you, and My Heart Will Go On has always been in my life as well. Celine has always been in my life. Mother is also a stan. Mother is a stan of mother. So between the movie and Celine being like a Canadian icon and my mother standing, you know, especially A New Day Has Come on CD, that has been in rotation ever since.
And it's funny to me that we knew Celine and the song before I actually watched the movie. Well, you watched it before, but literally.
But I never connected that they were connected because it was little, right?
Yeah. It was like two different entities, if you think about it. Like the song.
Yeah. They both stand on their own.
They individually. But anyway, with a further ado, let's get a pen out and get into these lyrics.
First, it starts with the da-na-na.
Ooh, the voice. Every night in my dreams, I feel you. Every night in my dreams, I see you, I feel you. Exactly, Rosie.
So do we think, exactly, it's the perspective of Rose, right?
Right. Yeah. It could be used for us in the normal world, like, you know what I mean? But for in the context of the movie, every night in my dreams, I see you, I feel you. Because she lost her Jack Daniels. Mm-hmm. Because every night she lays to bed and she's like, I miss Jack. I miss him, y'all. I miss him. She sees him because, you know, that dream and that recollection.
I feel you. Okay, Celine.
Okay. And then she goes to say, that is how I know you go on. That's how you go on into the past life, the future life.
Because when someone passes on in your life, you always remember
that. Exactly. You feel that connection.
The memories. That feeling, yes.
That vibrature.
Even the spiritual sense, you know.
Yeah, that's what I think.
When someone passes away, you see the light flickering of the candle, you think of that.
Yeah, you think of it. And also just naturally, you think of another person. Look at her strutting up that hill. Ooh.
All right, I'm a little bit distracted, I have to say.
And singing. The good thing about Celine, also, let's see here. The mother sings every time. Every time. Mm-hmm. She don't do no backup all the time. Voice is on. Anyways, that's why I say, you know, when you're thinking of a person, when a person passes on, like, for example, your grandma, your grandpa, like, you think of them in certain times, certain actions, and it makes you think of them. That's what she's saying here.
Yeah.
Far across the distance and spaces between us.
The distance of the ocean, you know. It's a big-ass ocean.
Exactly. There's space between us.
You went from Ireland to New York. That's far.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't make it to New York. Oop.
They almost did. She did. She did.
Well, yes, she did. That's right.
So she's maybe she feels guilty far across the distance, that like that distance that I should be over there with you, but yet here I am. Mm-hmm. But also just
yes.
between the distance of the realms of physicality and spiritual, you're not able to yes. connect with that person anymore.
And I think spaces between us, like, it's a double entendre for like not only distance yeah. and not only the physical world and the spiritual realm, but also the different classes that they True. Coexisted in. But that connection was there because she was, even though she was first class, she wasn't, you know, she didn't look down on anybody. Yeah.
She never.
And the connection was yeah. there.
And they felt always like connected with each other. Mm-hmm. So then she goes on to say, my mother, Salim, you have come to show, oh no, I mean, you yeah. have come to show you go on.
And she emphasizes, go on.
And then would you say that's going on into like life? Like their the spiritual world, I guess? Like, mm-hmm. Look at her.
Maybe Jack, like looking down on her and seeing how she's gone on yeah. in life, because we see in the movie she eventually had a daughter, True. She married, she did a bunch of things.
Okay, we can be from Bro's perspective and Jack's perspective.
Yeah, I think we're switching.
And Celine's perspective. Like both. It could be three people. It could be our perspective too.
Well, I mean, that's what I was going to say later on. I'm sure with the passing of her husband, oh, unfortunately, for sure. this song also. What is his name? I forget Renee his name. Angelou? I thought it was Renee. I wasn't sure. I'm sure it holds a special place in her heart. Because, oh, I mean, sure. we can get into the story of how they got into it. But anyways, yeah.
Come to show you go on, you know, that existence that we always think that, you know, our dead's relatives are dead. They don't no longer exist. You know, sometimes mm-hmm. they let us know mm-hmm. they're here. Near, far, wherever you are, I believe that the heart does go on. So near, far.
Kind of the same message. Exactly.
Wherever you are, I believe that the heart does go on. So that feeling, whatever they... Because what was Jack's dream? Wasn't it to be like rich or something?
To be an artist.
And to... Yeah, so maybe she takes his dream and she pursues it. No, I think she keeps the drawing, no? I don't remember.
I think she does. She was doing like pottery in the beginning. Yeah. But they found the drawing in the beginning, right?
Exactly.
And... That's how they connected it to her.
So then it's just basically her saying, you know, it doesn't matter what goes on. I'm still going to follow your dream. I'm still going to I'm going to believe in us. Even though she might go mm-hmm. on and marry somebody else, she can't believe on it. So that's I believe right. that the heart does go on.
And I like how her voice is like gentle. And then it builds in power. Once more.
You open the door.
Between the two worlds, but also like the connection, you know, he opened the door between the social status for them to be together, and the boat opened the door for them, like destiny, to meet each other and go through the trials and tribulations that yeah. they do. You know, people don't think about it. They go through so much over like what, 3 days?
Literally, it's that the class differentiation, right? Like the different classes of life and middle class. Well, she's high class, no? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's first class.
No. Like, what's it called? Like, middle class, lower class, upper class? She's upper class and he's lower class. So there's a mm-hmm. big distinction. And that also can be the space. We're so spacious in lifestyle, but in human form, we're so connected, literally and figuratively.
And yet you're here in my heart. And my heart will go on and
my
on.
My heart will go on and on. Yeah, that connection to him. My heart will forever be yours and yours will be mine. We're going to be connected. We're mm-hmm. going to be together. Even though you made me survive. Like, he made her get on the raft. And the question mm-hmm. of the century always been, would that bitch let him get on so that he also could have survived?
You know, they asked Celine that, and oh, I forget what she said in an interview, but she was like, yeah, but like, he was, you know, sacrificing for exactly. her. Because even if they both went on it, yes, there was room. But you know when y'all go on a floaty in the pool, and... You're both, well, especially us. If we share a floaty,
none of us are making.
You know, a little bit of the water is gonna trickle over because it's gonna sink a little bit. So only one person can. And also, what she was smart is she was saying, like, also Jack was probably too weak to pull himself up. Rose with them, it wasn't gonna help him because she was just with that whistle, like, on her side. So.
Yeah,
you know, the water, they said it feels like 1,000 knives stabbing you.
It just is, it's like you said, the sacrifice, the meaning of it. And that's why it makes more sense for her to be like, my heart would go on because of the sacrifice you did. I have to live up to whatever we were. You know what I mean? And that's where her heart goes on. Her heart entwined with him. There you go. Big term. Big English terms. Okay.
Second
love.
Love can touch us one time. Here we go.
And last for a
lifetime.
That's what I was saying. She felt a connection to this man. Mm-hmm. And now she's forever. Over,
like, a week.
3 days. And she is gonna be forever reminded of him. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't, maybe she, like, it doesn't matter what other person comes to your life. It would never be the same. Because also,
people have that one great love or two great love.
And also, whatever. Especially the part where she didn't really get to know more. That's why I felt so bad for her. She's like, I remember when I was watching, I was like, wow, she didn't, like, yes, you got to know this Jack, but what about when he's facing tribulations? What if when he's like, happy, angry, fruitful, what happens to Jack? But she didn't get to know that. So that's why to her, that's why that kind of love is even more, not harmful, but more strong, like strong,
is powerful.
I get what you're saying. To know her.
Because
if, as,
they didn't have time to have a squabble.
How could he lay it down on a good actual bed? Because that car, maybe we couldn't lay it down good. You know what I mean? And that's what she's saying. She could have missed.
The hand always sends
exactly.
me.
What is she, what she wanted to know more, and life didn't give her more. Now,
that was me. I'd be like, "Can we open the window?" Yeah, no, I'm always eating. So
to her, now it's the mission of what could that have been? What would that be? What would that love? What would that relationship? So it doesn't matter who comes next. It's never gonna fill that void.
And that's why, and I like the song because it kind of whatever she's saying in one line leads to the next one in relation. So and then she says, "And never let go till we're gone," because she has not let go until she throws the necklace in the ocean. Like, you know, that's why she gets emotional when she comes back and the daughter's like, stop. And she's like, no, I'm going to do it. What's no the daughter's idea. Name? I forget. But they're like, it's okay, Rose. It's like, no, I'm going to fucking tell you my story. Okay.
But
yes, it's painful, but you're going to hear it. Okay. And then just for her to throw the thing in the ocean. She's so real for that.
The whole time I had it, I had it.
It's painful.
Thinking,
if I don't get Jack, you're not going to get the diamonds. Okay.
How can love continue just one time and last for a lifetime and never let go till we're gone? So basically, like,
and doesn't she pass away after that?
Does she, well, since he's gone. So maybe since she can't let go till we're gone.
No, because as I recall from the movie, like, I think after she throws in the ocean, she goes to bed and I think she dies in her sleep.
No, she did.
And I think, I don't remember, I'm pretty sure it goes like that. And, you know, so that's why I think, like, she was meant to go there to relive it. It was a full circle moment. And then when she let go of the diamond, she could finally let go of Jack, which means she could finally let go. Yeah.
Because now that was her moment. Wow.
Come on, James Cameron.
He did that. And never look at you. So love was when I loved you. Love was when I loved you.
Yeah, because she also didn't love Cal. So what her idea of love.
Carl.
She has not. It's different. Cal. Oh, the guy she was engaged to. Or whatever his name is. But she called him Cal. Okay. Anyways. Because her idea of love is toxic. Scarcity mindset. For money. Like the mother is. You know. She was kind of following the same pattern as her mother. But she discovered what true love is with Jack.
But her like mother was not very. You know.
Fuck that bitch.
So.
I'm sorry.
Love was when I loved you. One true time I'd hold to. I would hold to. One true time I hold.
She's holding on to that time, the memory again. She's holding on. She's held on to it her whole life. She's gone through her whole life. And I think she didn't really tell the daughter about it. I think, like, the daughter, when they cut back to them, like, in the bow, her daughter was like, you never told me that.
And what if,
like,
the daughter was of Jack's?
Well, that's one conspiracy they have, but I don't think they revealed that she was pregnant. But I think she was too, she'd be older if it was.
But also, I don't know if the baby would have survived that temperature.
I gotta rewatch it. But I don't remember.
Yeah, I mean, that love was when that I loved you. That, you know, that true love, one time I hold to. So basically saying it's the one time I actually fell love and I didn't get to. Because as I was saying, the void that's there. And she couldn't even no one else after that came to that.
In my life will always go on. And then, you know, we got to continue. That's why she lived a fruitful life, you know, in the spirit of Jack, his adventurous spirit. And she said near, again, we go near, far, where. And then we go a little bit emphasis on the where.
I believe the hardest go on.
Oh, they have this bracket here, but I don't remember hearing that in a song.
I think she says that, is that she starts, why does the heart go on? after the heart does go on. Why does the heart go on? Basically, okay. The question she's posing is, why does our heart feel that we got ripped out when that true love is not explored?
And maybe also, like, maybe she feels guilty that
her heart
went on.
She survived and he didn't. That is true, that she mm-hmm. could feel guilt.
Yeah, because she could have moved on the raft.
Move over, bitch.
But anyways, they could have took turns. Once more, you open the door and you're here. In my heart, and my heart will go on and on. And then we get a little instrumental. And then we get ready. You hear the drums, you hear the strings. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. There's nothing. I feel. This moment is here. It's her realizing, like, or you know that feeling when you feel that presence of someone else.
She's an epiphany. Here. She knows she's being watched over, and she's like, "I'm just gonna live the rest of my life. I'm gonna have a hot girl summer because I know his spirit is watching down on me."
Or also, just why the heart goes on is because she feels him here now. She knows you're here in my heart, and my heart will go on. Mm-hmm. There's nothing I fear. I have no doubt.
Yeah. She doesn't need to feel guilty anymore because no matter what, he'll always be with her. He'll always be watching down.
You know that, and I know that my heart will go on. We'll stay. Forever this way, you're safe in my heart, and my heart will go on and on. Exactly. But yeah, it's a reminder. It's a reminder. Just a reminder.
Just a reminder. Go for it. What's up?
Anyways. A reminder of the connection that her and Jack had. And maybe it could be, like you said, from all the perspective of her, Jack, or even Celine Dion, like you said, with her husband. So mm-hmm. really, the whole purpose of my heart would go on is that our hearts and our minds have a connection to our significant others. It doesn't matter when they pass, mm-hmm. we can still feel them and we can connect with them anytime we feel the need. For her, she wish she had that Jack in her, but she can't get that. So girl...
God, I thought this was a classy party.
Because it's a feeling, not a sensation. There you go. Write it in your books. Well, oh, wow. I said it. What? She wanted it?
Okay, let's take a break and then we'll be back to discuss all things Celine.
Hey guys, we're stopping our very own podcast for our very own fake ad until we get sponsorships.
We love manifesting. Make sure to follow us on whatever social media you're on at Pen Pop Podcast to get notified for new episodes, because why would you miss them?
Or just talk to us in general on our personal accounts at DanteDiDomenico_ and at Ari Dominguez Official.
And if you like what you're hearing so far, don't forget to leave us a rating or review from wherever you're listening to this podcast.
And now, back to Pen Pop.
P-E-N-P-O-P. So now that we've analyzed the lyrics, we have to get into the rollout of the song, the music video, the movie, and more.
My Heart Will Go On was again produced by Walter Nassioff, a frequent collaborator of Mariah mm-hmm. and Whitney in the 90s, James Horner, and Simon Franklin. It was also composed by James Horner and written by Will Jennings. Mother Dion was not here for the song at first. From already contributing to several soundtracks, she did, I forget, that movie with Tom Hanks, she did Beauty and the Beast, she did Because You Loved Me. So, however, her husband Renee convinced her. So the story is that I think James or something was playing on the piano. And he was behind Celine, and Renee was in front of James. And then Celine was like, "It's a chop," and Renee was like, "Just wait." And then eventually, she was convinced to do it, and then she's forever grateful that she did. She likes it now, but she wasn't convinced at first because she said James is not a good. No, I was saying because she said she wasn't convinced at first because James like was not a good example to show her because he's like not a, like a singer like her. Had they got like a female demo, she probably would have been more on board at first.
She said she was busy with other things, and she just didn't feel like doing another soundtrack because. And then Renee was like, "Well, just shoot it. If you don't like it, that's okay. We just cut it out." And then she did it. The network liked it. And she was like, "Okay, well, let's do it." And now even she said, I remember, what's his name? King? Larry King.
Did she say later on that she hated it?
She says some songs, she doesn't say the name, of course. Some songs, I just don't want to sing them. But when the crowd starts singing them and that music goes on, and she's like, then I just go right back and they bring me back to where mm-hmm. I should be to sing the song. So, but she says she has a couple songs she does not exactly. like to sing. Because you have, after this, you make an album. Let's say you make another album.
A New Day Has Come. She made A New Day Has Come.
It was a completely different album, but people were like, well, This Isn't My Heart would go on. So she was like, well, that's not what I'm going to give you every time. So then you kind of hate it because that success overshines your other work.
So she was trying to do rich inevitable. Tax. It's inevitable. But the bitches wanted to hear My Heart. So she's like, okay, fine.
But no, I think she's very appreciative of it now and the success it had on her career. But the song is in the key of E major. The song is in the key of E major and it's known for its usage of its tin whistle, strings, and guitars. According to the Sony president, Timmy Mottola. At the time, Mother Dionne recorded My Heart Will Go On in one take and then re-recorded it for her 1997 album, Let's Talk About Love, after its success.
Which I did not know. I was surprised to know she re-recorded
I didn't know she re-recorded it either. But I know she did it in one take. Like, she was like... And that's why I like it because it's less produced. It's just, girl, I'm doing this for a little chiz and giggle. Yeah. Here it is.
It's stripped down. Well, because the demo was the one they used because she was like, I don't want to do this shit. That was her not even trying.
Exactly. People should be scared. If she tried.
So My Heart Will Go On, it's easily Celine Dion's biggest hit ever and signature song. It topped the charts in over 25 countries and has sales of 18 million copies to date, making it the second best-selling single by a woman in music history after I Will Always Love You. And fun fact, Mariah's All I Want for Christmas is number 3. So you see how the vocal trinity,
and yeah, fucking,
they're always together.
What's her name?
Slaying.
Rolling Stone didn't care to include her in the 200th greatest artist list. The song was the best-selling song of 1998 after debuting at number 1 on the Hot 100 and could have charted at number 1 even longer due to the limited copy issues in America, but remained at number 1 in the Billboard Hot 100 airplay for 10 weeks and had the largest radio audience at the time of 117 million listeners.
The song would go on to win an Academy Award and Golden Globe for Best Original Song and sweep the 1999 Grammys with 4 awards including Record and Song of the Year. The first time by a Canadian, the Titanic soundtrack itself became the best-selling primarily orchestral soundtrack of all time, being certified diamond in the U.S. alone. Celine really got a big ego within a year.
She got a big ego.
Yeah. She got an Emmy before. I think it was for Beauty and the Beast.
The Grammys. I don't remember. And then the Oscar was for the movie.
Oh, sorry. It was for her Power of Love special or whatever.
And then with Tony? So Tony, what would she have to do to get a Tony? Mm-hmm.
She has to do a musical, but she could produce it. She could write it.
She don't write.
She could vocally direct it.
She could write it, but yeah, she could vocally. I don't know. She could do that now that she probably has, honestly, with her vocal.
Her T is Titanic. So
She's ego. And now for the music video, directed by Billy Woodruff. It shows Celine singing on the ship with the clip between...
But the one we prefer is the 25th anniversary version, which has never before seen footage of Celine with the green screen of the sunset and she's on the boat thingy. Yeah. And it's just like extended, basically. Yeah, I just hate when a soundtrack music video... I don't mind if it has the clips in between, but I don't like when they don't do it in a creative way. So, like, for example, I like when music videos for the soundtrack, they have, like, the music, the movie playing in the background, like, on a screen or in a unique way. But if they just, like, intercut the clips with the artist, it's just kind of boring. And also, they use, like, the widescreen version. So, like, it's her parts fill the whole screen. And then, like, the Titanic parts are, like, have the ugly black borders, which I hate. Yeah. Like,
it's just choppy. But then the new version, which is... incredible. That's the only one I watch now. So yes. All right. Let's talk now about My Heart Would Go On and the purpose of the movie, performance, interviews, and et cetera, and more. So what are your thoughts on the Titanic movie? Like, in general,
I like it because there's a lot of different things. Okay, first of all, the budget. I mean, you get a whole ass boat.
What's the boat? Yeah,
James, you did that. And I know there's special effects. And one thing I love about James is he utilizes both props and special effects, which I love because it's more timeless. And second of all, he knows how to like use special effects like in a tasteful way. So it's not too like revealing. You can't see the magic. You think it's real. For example, in the Celine music video, the background is a green screen. I thought somebody just painted it. It's beautiful. But it was actually the same green screen that they used for the film.
I think like the movie itself, like I said, the thing that impressed me the most was that 3 hours long and I was not bored once. That's the thing that's the level of storytelling that you need in order to do that. The song, I don't remember if the song comes at the end, right? The song comes at the end or the beginning. Yeah.
Well, but her the tin whistle is like used throughout.
It was at the end. Like it's used, I think.
Or in the melody. Her,
or maybe
it's
not.
Like, I forget. Yeah, it's at the end. Right? It's at the end when she's on the when she's about to throw it in the ocean. Her hair is going in the wind. But it's also like when it's used like on the boat. Oh, yeah, right. Sorry. When Rose is in front of them on the edge of the boat. And they're like,
so that's what I think.
Or flying like, or whatever.
Her, like, it wasn't even like about, it just complements the movie.
It's perfect because it conveys emotion and it, the I don't know, for some reason, the tin whistle reminds me of a boat because you think like the little steam whistle boat thing. Let's talk about like some of the interviews and stuff. So you were talking about the Larry King interview before, like he was talking about like how, you know, don't you get sick of that song, and I like how she said, you know, when I do and it's hard to sing, but when I start performing it, I can't help but fall in love with it again because, you know, it reminds her of a lot of things and now holds a more personal attachment to her because Renee, and she says humans still believe in the essentials of love, and that song represents love.
Then
so
she did her
if
job.
She can spread that message,
you know. I agree 100%. And I think that's one of the, if you think about Celine has never talked about anything that is not love. She only talks about love.
Everything is love.
Connection and, you know, the things she loves and her new family. Like a new day has come. That's why her new day has come is because now she has a baby. She has a different way of looking at it. That's what I remember her saying. It's like, a new day is now because now I wake up and I think of my son. It's the first thing I think of. And that's, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's, she never talks about, like, so this song, to be her most successful one, it makes so much sense. Do you think, now, question, do you think it was because of the movie that made her song successful, or was it the song that made itself successful? What do you think?
I think it's both. But if I had to choose one, I think Celine would have been fine on her own without the movie, because we were just coming off of Because You Loved Me and Falling Into You, which Because You Loved Me was a huge song from another soundtrack, and Falling Into You, like, this is like the peak of her career, basically. Like, she's always mother, but like commercially, like, It's All Coming Back to Me Now and All By Myself and, you know, Falling Into You won Album of the Year, the Grammy. So like anything that she was going to do next, it was going to be gold. Like, the thing is that like Celine chose to take the hiatus after her greatest hits in between A New Day Has Come. Like, she could have easily kept going, but she's like, no, I'm going to take personal time for me because I'm a bad bitch.
That's what she did in her interview with
time I want to.
But yeah, Barbara, I think she just Barbara, wanted, yeah, like, to want a time for herself.
But I mean,
and then she came back.
But I'm sure, like, the commercial appeal of the movie, I'm sure it helped.
Yeah.
But I'm saying she definitely could have did it on her own.
But the movie definitely complemented her success on it.
It does.
You can't not think of the other one.
When you hear it, you think of the movie.
Of the other one. You can't think of each other.
And then when you think of the movie, you think, exactly.
It really, I think it was one of the ones that has worked the best, in my opinion. That and The Bodyguard and, you know, like many others. Mm-hmm. But there's some songs that work perfectly. They're so attached to it that when you think of one thing, you're like, oh, let me listen to it. I might not have time to watch the movie because nobody got 3 hours to waste like that. But, well, not to waste, but, you know, to use like that. But then I'm going to listen to the song and then you can just think of it.
So next, I found another interview back to how she was like not really trying. She said in an interview in 2008, you know, first of all, she was crying when she heard about the movie because it is a tragic event, and you have to be interested in the movie. But also, she said that she was actually half warmed up for the demo, so she wasn't even fully warmed up. And apparently, she drank black coffee before, so her vibrato was so much faster. So like, really. She was rushing the song, I guess. And also, the label held it back from being released on cassette or CD or whatever. So it didn't even chart till 10 weeks later. That's why it debuted at number one.
I'm wondering, is it because...
It's the power of Celine. What I'm trying to say is...
She's just doing her thing.
She's not even trying her best. And she's selling 18 million copies. So imagine she was fully warmed up. She did a full vocal take. And imagine if the label sent it to radio right away, plus they... like commercially, because back then you could not chart on Billboard unless you had your single was commercially released on cassette, CD, or whatever until later on. Then some were just charting from airplay. But so imagine they did all that
It would have been 20.
It was number one for 10 weeks on the Hot 100 airplay. Literally. We don't
know. Could you do a re-release and still be sharding? No, right?
If it sells more than the top 50, then it can go recurrent.
Again, when you... The things that come natural, it just happens. And just there's no force.
She never comes across as me as, like, trying too hard. It's very effortless.
Like she
says,
she's like, it's what I love to do. This is what I was born to do. So when you're born to do it, you don't feel the need to be... To prove to anybody that you're worth it. Because she already knows she's worth it. This is what she does. This is her...
But even still, she's very, like, kind of laid back, like how Rihanna is. Like, they're both passionate about singing. Selena, I would say more. I'm sorry, the fancy lady. We love her music, though. I would say, but they both, the way they approach performing is they're very chill about it. They're not... Yeah. And yet it's still perfect, is what I'm trying to say.
Like, they're not...
They don't try, and yet it's still iconic.
Look for the best... seller, like a hit. They just put music out that makes them feel good.
So there's a lot of performances, but I have to say the most iconic is the Academy Awards. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about the drama. Let's talk about it. So she had the black dress with the heart of the ocean, and she's singing, and she hits her arm, and she kind of hits the necklace, and everybody backstage is flipping their shit.
Because it kind of bounces, so people thought they were going to like... break and it's gonna like fall. Mother knew what she was doing.
Yeah,
she
the chain part.
That stone fucking no, she couldn't
damage the stone. If it lasted long,
it was simple. It's again that's Selena's. She could do it and nobody give a shit because it's Celine. You know what I mean? It's the mothering mother. No, the people appreciate that because it's such an iconic performance. What it symbolizes, what it symbolized for the. For her and her career and stuff.
It's also just the glamour and esteem of that time. Like, who's bringing out archive jewelry anymore? Nobody. The last time we saw it was like when Beyonce and Lady Gaga wore like the Tiffany diamond, when she wore the Tiffany diamond for A Star Is Born Oscars. Can we get archival pieces? Come on now. I want drama. Give me drama.
So much controversy.
Vocals on point, and she had the orchestra all in white. You know, I wrote in my notes, chills, screaming, crying.
Because she was wearing you know? Black with the... People don't give enough credit to Celine Dion, and I think it's mostly because of the successful, like, the hits and all that stuff, and she doesn't really have that many accolades.
But she does.
Yeah, but I think people just see her as less because she doesn't have as many, like, too many. You know what I mean?
I disagree. I think she has many. I just think people forget about Celine because she just doesn't care to be seen all the time. You know what I mean? Like Celine.
But think about it. 5 Grammys in her whole fucking career.
Grammys you can't compare because Mariah only has like 5 as well.
Well, that's true.
But Janet has 2. That's what I'm saying. Janet has 2. Okay.
Janet just didn't make the level.
Grammys don't recognize success. Okay.
No. I'm not saying that. But in general, like, why nobody respect Gar like that? Because what do they see? But the Grammys don't respect her. But the public thinks that because you got the Grammys, you're respect worthy. That's the problem.
Yes, but
the Grammys don't certify the people. Sorry, don't certify the artist. But the public certify the artist because of the Grammys.
Yes, but my point that I'm trying to make is just she's very low-key. Like, and she comes out for things that mean a lot to her. You know, she doesn't have to attend every award show. She's not on social media a lot. She's not, you know, she keeps it private.
Yeah. But when she steps
on the scene, watch out.
She always made her thing about the music. It was about the music. It wasn't about the accolades. And that's why I don't like that people say that sometimes because it feels like, if for example, like,
Adele.
Rolling Stones. Like, why would you not consider her?
Well, they've always hated her. That's the thing. That's another factor is the critics don't like her because they see her as a puppet because she doesn't write or whatever, or they don't respect her because it's a raucous thing and it's a sexist thing because she sings these schmaltzy love ballads. They don't respect her because they think she needs to be like playing a guitar talking about like folk shit. I don't fucking know.
No, that's what I'm saying, but the accolades, like, she doesn't have those things to her name. Like, when you think of Mariah, like you were saying, she don't have the Grammys, but she might have, like, you know, all her songs are at least touched by her in some way. But Celine is more the voice. Like, what Celine can do with her voice doesn't matter what she can do with the lyrics or whatever. It's her ability to vocally direct herself, because that's the problem nobody sees. Vocally directing herself, making her own like, you know, vocal aspect of it. Yeah, she might not produce it, she might not write it, but baby, who gonna sing it? That's an instrument. So if you don't need to play a guitar to be a singer. So that's what I meant by that. It's like people are not respectful of that.
Okay.
And not me at fucking Rolling Stone 200.
Yeah, that is just disrespectful.
Bitches. Okay, moving on.
Mm-hmm. Let's wrap this sinking ship. Okay.
Okay. It's time for the sign off. Where? What are your final thoughts on how it would go on?
Graduations, weddings, funerals. I think Celine did Canada charity and she became the Queen of Canada. That is my prime minister. Okay. And she always has been.
And who was Lizzie? We don't know her. This is our Lizzie.
Exactly. She always been the queen. And all I can say is I hope she gets better soon because
I know.
I really want to go with my mother and go see her one day. I'm manifesting for sure. It.
No, we were going to go to Courage, which I have her. You see, some things you regret in your life, and there are two things I regret in my life. Not going to the Formation World Tour and not going to Celine Courage World Tour. Because those were the two, like, honestly, if you ask me what are the two people I stand hardcore, those are the only two mothers I really, you know, and how can I die without seeing Celine in concert? Mm-hmm. That's just not going to happen. I die tomorrow. Because... because it can't, I need to see her. This is Celine Dion we're talking about. Like, you know what I mean?
Why did we not go to Courage? Please remind me.
Well, that's exactly the answer. We don't know. A mystery.
Do we miss it? Was it a budget
thing? I feel like I missed it or I don't know. I just
don't remember hearing about it. Because I think if you told me, I would go.
Because it's like, I didn't know anything. Like, guys, I don't know shit about shit. I just, like, waking up now. My first concert was literally in 2022. Like, it's been hits, don't get it wrong. Dua Lipa, Mariah, Janet, and Beyonce. Yeah. It's just an increasing amount of countries.
Madonna was going to be next, but...
Madonna was next, but she, her bacterial infection got the best
January,
of her.
January.
January 2024. We're going to see, girl. Don't get no more bacteria. Like, I just didn't know she was in concert. Like, I didn't know what a concert was. Like, I didn't know where to go. Where do I go buy tickets? I didn't know none of that. Now I know. And I buy constantly. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know then. So I feel like I missed out on so much. And now that she is sick, like, how am I going to live? I can't.
My goal has always been go see the legends before they die.
Yeah.
And Celine's not dying anytime soon. She's got enough life ahead of her. It's just I'm concerned about the voice, but I'm remaining positive. I know she's going to pull through. I know she's got the best doctors on it, and I know they're going to come up with something. Okay.
Oh, I know.
And when she's ready, I will be there.
I will be there too. I will be seated front row. And she's going to do a comeback tour. It's going to be
brief. Now that I think about it, I should really start a Celine savings account because it's not going to be cheap.
That's and the when thing. She comes, she needs to do Roger Center next time.
If she comes, it's going to be like, six shows, and it's going to be an arm and a leg for a ticket.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Thank you guys for listening so much. We had a wonderful time talking about this. Everybody knowing, everlasting, heart going, forever ending, pushing forward, Heart Will Go On by Celine Dion, the iconic mother of the house of the iconic house of Titanic House. The House of Titanic, where I'm reborn. Thank you so much for watching. We hope you enjoyed. This is our favorite thing to do, talking about pop stars. And this is our favorite thing to do, talking about pop stars and movies, which is this season's theme. We are talking about soundtracks related to movies. So if you want to do that, please make sure to follow us, write a review, and do all that you love to do.
You're going to love the next one. Because it's also having to do with the vocal trinity. Now, I want to go watch Titanic after this. But thank you again, guys. And we'll see you next time on Pem Pop. So goodbye.
Bye.
Pem Pop is produced and edited by Ari Dominguez and Dante DiDomenico. Hosted by Ari Dominguez and Dante DiDomenico. Graphics created by Ari Dominguez and Dante DiDomenico. Themes music created by Ari Dominguez. Thank you to the listeners who support us. If you'd like to show your support or learn more information, visit the show notes in your podcast app.
Copyright disclaimer under Section 107 of the Copyright Act 1976. Allowance is made for fair use for purposes such as criticism, comment, news reporting, teaching, scholarship, and research. Fair use is a use permitted by a copyright statute that might otherwise be infringing. Bye! I see you, I feel you.
across the distance and spaces between us. You have come to show you. Go on. Near, far, wherever.
Heart does go on.